Good help is hard to find. That's especially true at federal agencies looking for smarties in fields like cybersecurity and financial auditing. The latest look-see by the Government Accountability Office shows a number of mission-critical skills gaps in federal agencies. What can agencies do to fill those gaps? For some answers, we turn to Robert Goldenkopf. He's Director of Strategic Issues at the GAO. Good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tom. How are you this morning?
Okay, so let me ask you this. First of all, when you mention the skills gap and this report is getting some notoriety, is it because the people they have aren't very good at their jobs, or is it because they don't have enough people in those fields and that's creating the gap?
Well, it's definitely not the fact that people are not very good at their jobs. It's the reason for the skill gaps. It can really manifest itself in different ways. In its most simplest version, it's a supply-demand imbalance, where an agency just has a shortage of people with specific skills. In other cases, it's a little bit more complex, where they have people with, say, they have IT specialists, but those IT specialists don't have up-to-date cybersecurity skills.
All right, so you mentioned in the report that there are six areas that you examined where there might be a skills gap, and just now you mentioned cybersecurity. What are the other five?
Well, just to clarify, actually, it was OPM that identified skills gaps in six areas, and those are cybersecurity, auditor, human resources specialist, contract specialist, economist, and the STEM family of occupations, the science, technology, and engineering, and mathematics occupations. But the important thing is that during the same time frame when OPM identified those six occupations, GAO, in the course of its work, we identified skills gaps in around two dozen occupations. And so some of them overlapped with what OPM found. In other cases, we found skill gaps in such fields as telecommunications, veterinarians, as well as skill gaps that were affecting specific agencies, such as Border Patrol agents, rail safety inspectors. And the important point being is that because of limitations in OPM's methodology, OPM did not start off with a more comprehensive list, and it could have done a better job considering programmatic impact when kind of filtering all those occupations. And so that's one of the things that we bring out in the report, is various lessons learned so that OPM can do a better job as it looks at skills gaps going forward.
So when you look at all those skills gaps, if you were to put those on, say, a scatter diagram from, you know, the lower left is super specific to the agency and the upper right is general to all agencies, there would be a pretty even distribution of dots on that one.
It's hard to say how it shakes out. But that's another point in our report is the importance of good metrics and robust data to really understand where the skill gaps are and what's driving those skill gaps.
So this sounds like something that needs to be a partnership almost between OPM and the individual agencies.
Absolutely. It is definitely a shared responsibility. OPM needs to have leadership, that leadership commitment that keeps it on everybody's radar screen. OPM also needs to take responsibility for those occupations that are affecting multiple agencies like cybersecurity. Because there are things, for example, with the pay system or the classification system that might be needed, some changes might be needed there. But then also agencies need to play an important role, too, in terms of understanding what's going on within their own agencies and doing effective workforce planning so that they stay on top of it.
If you're someone who is at a fairly high level, say a program manager or maybe you're a deputy secretary or, you know, assistant secretary for management, that type of level, where do you start to know where the holes are in the first place? I mean, it would seem like you'd have to depend on the different functional areas to be able to be honest about what they don't have.
Well, exactly right. And that's why, you know, an initial first step is workforce planning. And both in the current report and earlier work that we've done is that agencies don't always do a good job in terms of workforce planning, which is really understanding what skills and competencies are needed now, where are the gaps, and then what steps are needed to fill those gaps. And then to add some complexity to this, it's important for both agencies and OPM to have a predictive capacity. You know, agencies' missions are constantly in flux, so it's important to be able to look ahead several years into the future and see what kinds of skills will be needed several years down the road to meet future mission requirements. And agencies just need to do a better job with that. And so that's really an important starting point.
Is this, would you say that over the past, say, 5 to 10 years, the level of gapness, if you will, in the federal agencies have increased, or is this something that's kind of a continuing situation?
It's really a continuing situation. I think that agencies are certainly becoming both more aware of the existence of skill gaps. I mean, you see it, in terms of problems. I mean, very often, and we see this with GAO's high risk list, which will be out tomorrow, as a matter of fact. But at least what we've seen in previous GAO's high risk listings is that if you peel back all the layers, very often what's behind that high risk, it's a human capital issue, and very often it's a skill gap causing that problem. And, you know, one that I keep coming back to is cybersecurity.
And so when you look at the range of gaps that there might be, like cybersecurity, I guess there's different metrics for being able to say that's the result of a gap. For example, you mentioned Border Patrol agents. If there's not enough of them, that can be easily seen in maybe too much overtime or trouble covering shifts and that kind of thing. In cybersecurity, though, it's a little bit more subtle to tell whether you do have a skills gap. It seemed like you have to go pretty far down the chain of command to find the people that actually understand the details there.
Exactly. And that's why, again, to add a little bit more complexity to this, it's important to understand what competencies are needed to meet a mission. So, for example, you know, whether it's cybersecurity or economists, let's say, you know, it's not just, well, hey, we need, you know, 10 more economists, but five of those economists need to be labor economists, and all of them need to be able to collaborate with others. And that's where the competencies come in. And so agencies need to develop competency models. So developing that understanding, it requires some work on the part of agencies.
We're speaking with Robert Goldenkopf. He's Director of Strategic Issues at GAO. And to put a finer point on that point is they need the agencies, I guess, and this falls into the HR function, they need competency in identifying competency.
That's very true as well. And there are certainly weaknesses within the HR profession that need to be filled. I mean, you know, because that function has really changed over time. I mean, you have human resource folks who, you know, still see themselves as staffing people or human resource administrators, as opposed to folks who really help support the business of an organization.
And so then I was going to ask, and you've partially answered it, but who is responsible for minding the gap or filling the gap in an agency? I guess it starts with the human capital people, but doesn't end there.
No, it's the performance people, it's program officials. It's a shared responsibility, and everybody needs to be speaking with one another to say, hey, how are we, you know, what are the gaps and how are we going to fill them?
Now, there were specific agencies that were looked at in this report, energy, commerce, and the Agency for International Development. Anybody particularly good at this or particularly bad at it?
Well, we found agencies doing mixed things. I mean, for one thing, all three agencies that you mentioned are using something called HR Stat to measure and stay on top of their human resource goals. And actually, it's a requirement. All agencies are doing that now, but those three agencies have had were the first to get on board. So that's the good news. HR Stat is a series of rigorous data-driven reviews of the human capital function, and agencies are to get together on a regular basis to talk about what the goals are and progress meeting those goals. And so that's all a good thing. But what we also saw was that across the government was that agencies were not using the same or core set of metrics to as part of this HR the HR Stat function. And, you know, it's important for agencies to have their own agency-specific metrics, but at the same time, it's important to have a core set of metrics so that agencies are measuring the same things in the same way. For example, you can measure one metric might be supervisors' satisfaction with the quality of candidates, but another agency might be looking at retirement rates. So you can't compare them, and so you really can't get an understanding of how our agency is doing in terms of addressing their skill gaps. So, you know, within those agencies, we saw some good things, some good practices, some important lessons learned, but also things that they could be doing better.
And some things you mentioned earlier or hinted at, it seems like even at some point Congress would have to get involved. I mean, federal agencies have had 1% pay raise, you know, on average, 0.5% pay raise over the past 5 years. And that must make it hard to attract people that want to come into the federal government that have those skills that are needed. And also staffing levels, where that's the issue, pretty much that gets into sometimes disputes with federal employee unions and also between the agencies and Congress. So there are external forces here that really come into play.
Most definitely. There are those external factors. But then also agencies, need to do a better job with working with the flexibilities that they do have in terms of, say, flexible pay rates, for example, or they can do a better job doing more active recruiting. So, you know, it's on both sides. And that's why, you know, everybody, OPM, Congress, individual agencies, they've done a lot. But, you know, the job is not done.
All right. So your best advice then from this report is for agencies or for OPM?
The recommendations that we made in our report are focused largely on OPM.
All right. And do they, if you would, just review them quickly, what your recommendations are for OPM?
Sure. Using a more robust data-driven approach to identify mission-critical occupations much earlier in the analytical process, prioritizing occupations using criteria that consider programmatic impact, consulting with subject matter experts, and then also developing a predictive capacity to look at newly emerging skill gaps.
And pretty much agreement there from OPM on those recommendations?
For the most part, yes. They agreed with most of our recommendations.
All right, so this is basically an issue that is an eternal one, and it's something that you can pretty much never stop working on, I would say, as missions change and conditions change.
That's exactly right. I mean, we see agencies' missions are in flux. I mean, NASA is looking at more private launch operations. The Census Bureau is looking to changes in its business operations. And that's another takeaway from this report, is that OPM and agencies need to continue to commit top leadership attention to this issue.
Robert Goldenkopf is the Director of Strategic Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much. Take care.